Hello, my name is Jed Brophy, and you are listening to Radioactive. I'm here with Patrick, and we're talking about all things Middle Earth and other things.
Heute begeben wir uns bei Radioaktiv in die Welt der Fantasy-Filme. Und zwar mit jemandem als Interviewgast, der mehrere Rollen hatte in Peter Jacksons Trilogien Der Herr der Ringe und Der Hobbit. Der neuseeländische Schauspieler Jed Brophy war per Videochat zu Gast. In Teil 1 des Interviews erzählt er von seiner Arbeit an den Filmen rund um den Fantasy-Kontinent Mittelerde, der jahrzehntelangen Zusammenarbeit mit Peter Jackson und vielem mehr. Aber zuerst, welche Fähigkeiten braucht man als Schauspieler, die einem nicht auf der Schauspielschule beigebracht werden?
You have to be able to handle rejection without taking it personally. There are so many reasons why you're not cast as a character in a film. I've missed out on parts in my career to friends of mine, and I've gone and seen the movie they're in, and it's really hard because you're going, you know, I was shortlisted for this. It was between me and you got the part, and I'm watching you on seeing, you know, I would have done it differently. And if you get to the point where you've got a recall or you've been shortlisted, at that point, you know, it's not about your talent, because obviously they saw something that they liked enough to shortlist you to two people, but it's still gutting when you miss out. You've already played the scenes out of how you're going to do it, you know. It's one of those things that they don't teach you when you're training to be an actor, how to handle rejection. It's also the main reason why people give it up.
Jed hat seine bekanntesten Rollen unter sehr vielen Schichten Kunststoff-Make-up gespielt. Man bezeichnet dies auch als Prosthetic-Make-up. Wie kam es dazu, dass gerade solche Rollen zu seiner Nische wurden?
It wasn't something I planned. I'd done a lot of theater acting when I first got out of drama school. But then I did a play with a guy called Stephen Sinclair, who was a co-writer of Peter Jackson's, and he wrote a zombie movie called Brain Dead. And that required some prosthetics. Having done that film, I was then asked to audition for Heavenly Creatures. My character had a prosthetic part that they were going to give to someone else, and I said, well, I've done prosthetics. I'll do that part as well. And then when it came to Lord of the Rings, they just asked if I'd do it again. And my initial reaction was no, didn't really want to do prosthetics, but I got to play lots of other characters in those films as well, so it wasn't just kind of doing that kind of hot and heavy work.
Was muss man bei der Darstellung in so schweren Kostümen beachten?
A lot of people think you have to overact because you're covered in rubber, but actually the hard part is showing the subtlety in the character and not overdoing it. A lot of that comes down to just the same as it does with normal acting. If you think it, it shows. If you think what's happening in a situation, it shows on your face anyway. You don't have to do a lot of work. Even harder in prosthetics because you're aware of the fact that you've got a layer, probably a quarter inch thick sometimes, on your face. And the obvious thing to do is to try and work it too much. And so over the course of 20, 30 something years of doing it, I've learned to be able to craft that subtlety a lot better.
In den Mittelerde-Filmen hat Jed alle möglichen Fantasy-Kreaturen gespielt. Vor allem hat er verschiedene Orks verkörpert. Wie lange kann so ein Arbeitstag dauern?
The longest makeup I've ever done is Sharku for Lord of the Rings. He's the leader of the Wag Riders who beats up Aragorn, and then Aragorn goes over the cliff. I would get there at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it was 4.5 hours just to do the face, and then another 3 hours to do the 9 layers of body paint. And then you've got a 12-hour shoot day on top of that. The other thing is the lenses. They can only really stay in your eyes for up to 3 or 4 hours before your eyes start to dry out. So the lenses have to come in and out. So that's 19 hours. And then you've got an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, depending on how many artists are left there at the end of the day to take it off.
Welche Herausforderungen gibt es dabei noch? Und wieso muss bei solchen Charakteren viel mit Nachsynchronisation, auf Englisch ADR, gearbeitet werden?
The hard thing is that you're there with your makeup artist when no one else is there. There's no one there making coffee. There's no one there bringing you breakfast. By the time everyone else arrives, you've already done a full half day of work before anyone even has breakfast. And you can't have a proper breakfast because a lot of what you eat will then strip the glues used in the prosthetics, especially around the lips. Also got to be able to talk through prosthetic teeth, which is almost impossible. It's why there's so much ADR done for prosthetic characters, is because it's very hard to be clear while you're talking with a layer of teeth on top of your teeth. It's not glamorous. It's not for everyone. And I've been lucky enough to do a lot of work in the industry that's not prosthetics. It's not everybody's cup of tea. You have to be able to go to a place in your head where you're not thinking about being uncomfortable. Because if you do, that's your entire day. It's just feeling uncomfortable. So you have to be able to go to a place where you can ignore an awful lot.
Jed war bei den Herr der Ringe-Filmen nicht nur als Schauspieler tätig. Dadurch hat er neue Perspektiven auf sein Heimatland und seinen Beruf gewonnen.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be one of the full-time horse trainers as well as being an actor. So I got to see the whole of my country, Te Rā, sometimes called Middle Earth New Zealand, from horseback. Working for the horse department, I think, made me realize where the glamour is. We were sleeping in the back of horse floats with our horses at times on location, and then being an actor off in a 5-star hotel. It kind of kept my feet on the ground for the project too.
Wie war das Verhältnis zu seinen Kolleginnen und Kollegen?
I got to hang out a lot with those actors, and I think there's a reason why these films affect the people in them more than others. It's because you become a family. You have to get through 3 years of what was a lot of long days. So there was a lot of sitting around and a lot of getting to know other people. That camaraderie was one of the reasons why the films were successful. Egos were all left at the studio door, and we became a family trying to make incredibly well-loved books into well-loved films. All of us knew what was at stake. Lord of the Rings was the second most read book in the world after the Bible. We knew that we had to get it right, and that brings a level of camaraderie. Your common purpose is to try and make the literature shine on film, and I think, you know, it affected us in that way that we became lifelong friends.
Auch die eigentlichen Familien der Herr der Ringe-Besetzung durften im Film mitwirken. Zum Beispiel hat Jeds jüngster Sohn einen Kurzauftritt als Aragorns Sohn in einer Traumsequenz. Wie kam das zustande?
He has a little fan base around the world from having played that part. He was only 5 years old. It's hard for him to remember. I sort of have to remind him what it was like to have him on set. My eldest son was also one of the hobbits in the first Lord of the Rings film, and he was a scale double. He played a Rohan refugee. So Pete got anyone with kids who was on the crew or the cast. He tried to get their children into the films because they were there with us a lot on set anyway. Because it was such long hours, the families tended to come to set and be hanging around. So it was cool to have our families involved in that way.
Nach dem weltweiten Kinoerfolg von Herr der Ringe vergisst man schnell, was für ein Risiko die Filme ursprünglich waren. Fantasy war damals kein gängiges Genre und die Buchvorlagen von J.R.R. Tolkien galten als unverfilmbar.
As much as I valued Peter as a filmmaker and I trusted him because he was a very good director even then, I didn't believe that Lord of the Rings was possible to put on film. I loved the book so much and my imagination was so full of what all those characters should look like. I thought, well, if that's me, look at all the other millions of people that have read the book. Thankfully, me and any other doubters out there were completely wrong because they nailed it. There'll never be another Lord of the Rings. It was groundbreaking in so many ways, not just for New Zealand as a country. Fantasy became an acceptable and saleable genre. It won 11 Oscars. There hadn't been that many Oscars awarded to a fantasy film in the history of film. And it kind of was a reawakening of just what fantasy could do for audiences around the world. You know, the adaptations of other books like Game of Thrones probably wouldn't have happened if it hadn't have been for the technological advances and the practical effects enabled on Lord of the Rings back in the day.
Zu Anfang der Nullerjahre hat die Filmtrilogie frischen Wind ins Kino gebracht. Das Veröffentlichungsdatum und der Zugang zu Making-of-Aufnahmen waren dabei wichtige Faktoren für das Marketing.
Reignited this love of going out at Christmas time and having a film to look forward to every Christmas. You know, Warner Brothers was smart enough to do the same thing with Harry Potter, to go, okay, let's bring one out every December as a Christmas film because that gives people something to look forward to, and then you create a hype which helps you sell the film as well. And that was the same with the distribution. It was a really smart thing that they did, allowing Peter to show so much of the behind the scenes, getting the audience in touch with the reality and the humanity of the people that were playing the parts. That was a really smart move as well, allowing so much access to how they were shooting stuff and what they were shooting. That kind of changed the way that films got sold as well.
Obwohl er an der ganzen Reihe mitgearbeitet hat, kann Jed die Filme auch unbesorgt als Fan genießen.
There are certain scenes whenever I watch it that get me every time. Watching the Black Riders chasing Arwen and Frodo on that horse. I mean, I was one of those Nazgul on horseback, but I forget that when I'm watching it. I forget the fact that that's us going through the trees and down that river and what it was like. That stuff was really hard to shoot. It was really dangerous. We couldn't see very well with the hoods being so big. We had no peripheral vision. Those black horses we were on were absolutely crazy because they went from standing still to galloping every single take that we did. and they were very hard to control a lot of the time. When I watch that scene, I'm taken away from the memory of what it was like to be on the horse. I'm in there with Arwen and Frodo having these creatures of mayhem, you know, trying to get them. That scene just, and it's been copied so many times. If you look at Snow White and the Huntsman, they've got nine black horses chasing around a white horse through the swamp. Come on, be original. You're never going to top what we did back in the day, so do your own thing. That's kind of frustrating to me when I watch other fantasy films. It's like, don't try and do what they did. Get your own stuff.
Jed hat lange vor und lange nach den Mittelerde-Projekten mit Peter Jackson zusammengearbeitet. Was für eine Atmosphäre herrscht an seinen Sets?
There's a shorthand that comes with working with people on multiple projects. Peter knows that he can trust that I will do my homework, I'll turn up on time, and I'll give him 100 and however many percent that he requires. And it's been a blessing. There is no hierarchy on set. He comes in, he'll have a joke with you. He's on set directing every day in his bare feet. He's the most laconic, relaxed, egoless guy that you'll ever meet. He likes the set to be as relaxed as possible. And then in terms of the work, it has to be precise as possible. You know, he will do 27 takes. As Jack Black will tell you on King Kong, I think he did 20-something takes in a scene. He did 20-something takes with Christopher Lee in a scene that never ended up in the film. He'll keep pushing it until he gets what he wants. And, you know, you have to have a level of precision, but you also have to be relaxed within that. And he designed it. Having 8 weeks of boot camp before we started filming was a design thing to get us to become chums before we kind of went on this great journey together, because you're going to be stuck in very close proximity for a very long time. You know, it's, they've created this family thing. Ian McKellen was amazing too. He would have parties at his house and bring the entire cast and quite a lot of the crew so that we could have some downtime together that wasn't about filming. They go the extra distance to try and create an atmosphere where you're relaxed so that you can do your best work.
Am Anfang des Interviews hat Jed von seiner ersten Zusammenarbeit mit Jackson erzählt. Die Zombie-Splatter-Komödie Braindead aus dem Jahr 1992, für die angeblich 300 Liter Kunstblut verwendet wurden. Bei den Dreharbeiten der Hobbit-Filme hat das für verblüffte Reaktionen beim Hauptdarsteller gesorgt.
When we were shooting The Hobbit, he had a cast and crew screening of Braindead. I've sat next to Adam Brown and Martin Freeman, and Martin was like going, he's directing us, that guy. He's like, this is what, you know, he was gobsmacked. He didn't know what to make of it. It was really funny watching his reaction, just sort of looking at me going, oh my God, this is where it all started.
Die Hobbit-Trilogie erzählt die Vorgeschichte zu Herr der Ringe und erschien etwa 10 Jahre später, Anfang der 2010er Jahre. Wie war es für Jed, nach Mittelerde zurückzukehren?
The biggest joy for me being in The Hobbit was getting to meet those people all again. Andy Serkis came back and directed Second Unit. Elijah came back as Frodo. Billy Boyd came back and wrote a song, The Last Goodbye, for the third film. Ian McKellen was there on set every day with us again. Got to see like a masterclass. Got to work with Kate again. Got to see Hugo again. It was like a reunion. But more importantly, the crew were the same crew that worked 10 years earlier. That's equally as important as the actors that you hang out with, is getting on with your crewmates, the people who do the hard work with very little glamour.
Wie waren seine Erfahrungen bei den Dreharbeiten der Hobbit-Filme und bei der Amazon-Serie Die Ringe der Macht? All das und vieles mehr erfahrt ihr im zweiten Teil des Interviews mit Jed Brophy.